Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Lost Sheep Podcast. I'm Nazario Pangallo.
And I'm Cole Bissett.
And we have our lovely guest, Mr. Austin. Finish your last name, please.
Dow.
Austin Dow. He's a focused missionary here at the University of Alabama. And we also, we're just so excited for you to be on the podcast. Thank you for coming on.
Dude, yeah, I'm super excited. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to dive first off into a little bit about yourself, a little bit about focus and your missionary work. And then Austin himself brought a quote that, you know, has meant a lot to him in his life. And we're going to dive into that as well. So quote is still coming along. So wait for that. But Austin, first off, we have to just talk about, let's start with, you know, your journey to focus. You know, how did you really come to grow in your faith? When at the point in your life were you like, yeah, I'm giving myself, you know, my life to God, not just as a missionary, but just in general, you know, when were you like, I'm ready to take this faith thing to another level?
Yeah. So, at the end of high school, I kind of like fell away from my faith. Just a lot was happening, friends, family wise. And yeah, I just fell away from the sacraments. Never stopped going to mass, but, stopped receiving communion, stopped going to confession. And when I got to college, I'm actually the first on my mom's side of the family to move away for college. And I knew that, yeah, I didn't want to stop going to mass because I didn't want to lie to my parents or my grandparents if they asked me, like, you still going to mass? So I was like, all right, I'm just gonna at least like go every Sunday. But I found myself hanging around the Catholic Center and meeting all these people. And I was like, what's going on? Like, all these people seem really happy. And I was like, God, what the heck? But as time went on and I got to spend time with people, I slowly, began to share my story with them. And, these people who became my friends just latched onto me. And a long story short, I like to say that I was loved back to life. This is like my fellow students, but also, people who were involved in Focus missionaries. I was blessed to be able to go to SEEK, and then the very first Focus conference I went to was called SLS. They don't do it anymore. But yeah, really getting to encounter the Lord and fall in love with Him again through authentic friendship, the Eucharist. And so, yeah, when I was discerning whether or not, like just what I wanted to do after college, I was invited to consider applying for Focus. And I remember, yeah, I threw in an application and I'm just like, I really don't want to do this. Like, I should probably like just go to grad school. I graduated with a psychology degree. And yeah, so throw in the application, get invited to interview, and like I just have so much anxiety like throughout this weekend. And I get to my last interview, and my two interviewers are like, they look at me and they're like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not. And they're like, what's wrong? And I said, just like very honestly, it's like, I hate this. I hate that I want to do this. I hate that like I feel like the Lord is calling me to this. And as soon as I said that, like, I just felt like so much peace. I was like finally honest with myself. I was like, I was encountered so deeply by the Lord through the people at my Catholic Center. I went to Texas A&M, by the way, Giga Maggie's.
Real time.
But yeah, like once we're encountered by Jesus, like truly encountered, like there's no going back. Like, He loves us back to life, and then he asks us, like, will you do the same? And so, yeah, I waited, got the offer, and accepted immediately. So that's how I got involved with Focus, and that's how I ended up here as a missionary at the University of Alabama.
So as a fellow Christian, I always like to talk to other people about what their personal prayer looks like. And I was just wondering, what does it look like for you as a Focus missionary? It doesn't have to, you don't have to go too personal, but just what does your prayer life look like? Like, what do you do for personal prayer?
Yeah. A really cool thing that is built into every focus missionary schedule is a daily holy hour and daily mass. And so, yeah, like we ideally it's in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but a lot of times, yeah, we just get to spend time with the Lord. Like everything we do is dependent on him and his grace. Is that what you wanted? Like, did you want like details of how I prayed my holy hour?
Well, either way, you can go either way with it. I was just curious, like, what do you like when you're sitting there praying to God? What's your version of, what's your form of prayer? I know other people like to talk and like communicate. Others just pray like prayers, like Our Father and stuff. And other people just like to have conversations with them. And I'm just wondering, like, what way do you like to approach it most out of that?
I would say conversation, meditative, contemplative prayer. Yeah, it's like you want to spend time with the people that you love. You want to talk to them, and with the Lord, it's like he knows me better than anyone else. He knows me better than I know myself, and so, especially as a missionary, I'm like, yeah, Jesus, I need you to tell me what to do. I can't do this. I can't be holy. I can't do mission without you. But yeah, like entering into prayer, I think what really helps me get into the mindset is just placing yourself in the presence of the one who loves you. A lot of times the first thing I say to the Lord, is like, all right, Lord, like I'm here. Like I'm here. And I trust that you meet me. And I trust that you're here too. And then we'll go from there.
And I kind of want to touch on a little more on that. So for me, when I like learn, when I have time to pray, I like to have conversations with God. I like to talk through him, through my prayer life, and just kind of work through what's going on in my life with him. And I've learned it actually has helped me become a little better of a listener as I've learned to explore that way. Because while you are talking, most of the time you got to learn how to listen really hard, because his presence is not always like right up in front of you. Sometimes you got to learn how to listen and learn how to see the blessings you have in your day-to-day life. And I've learned, if it has it helped you in that form for me, because it sounds like, sure, you're having a conversation with God, and it sounds like, oh, this is going to turn you into a better talker. For me, it's done quite the opposite. I've learned it's helped me become a better listener. So just wondered, has it had that impact on you at all, or is that just me?
Oh yeah, for sure. Scripture tells us that it's like he speaks in the still, like small voice. If I can remember correctly, Saint John of the Cross says that those who do not know, like those who don't know silence. No, wait, silence is God's first language. And Saint Augustine would go on to say, "Those who do not know silence do not know God." And so it's like, can I still myself and like be able to listen to him, like after I'm done saying all the things I need to say, like do I have the patience, like will I allow the Lord to respond?
Yeah, because life is so fast. There's so much going on, and we always really the lifestyle that a lot of people lead and what the world tries to tell us is go, 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 go. You have to be continually going and going and going. And while it's amazing to strive and to do more and to work hard, those moments that you're talking about, to have that patience and that stillness, are incredibly important, not just for our prayer life, just for our spiritual, mental, and physical health as well, to just be able to slow down. And it's so awesome to be able to spend those stillness, those quiet moments with the Lord, especially if we're just by ourselves. Sometimes I know you live with your focus missionaries, so you're around them, I'm sure, a good amount, and then you're supposed to be around all of us students as well. I'm sure when you get those moments by yourself, you don't always want to, interact with someone else. You're probably ready for some alone time, but it's incredibly important in life to, spend that alone time with the Lord. And just to go more into your mission as a focus missionary, what does your What is your personal mission for Focus? Like, what do you want to do as a missionary, and how do you want to inspire people through your missionary work?
Like I said, in college, I was deeply encountered by the Lord in the Eucharist and through authentic friendship. And so, yeah, like God became man so that men can become God. And so, like, we have this thing. It's not this Focus exclusive thing, but we talk about incarnational evangelization a lot. I think we've lost this art of being able to like live the gospel like with each other. It's not like you go to Sunday mass or like Sunday school and like, okay, that's my Jesus time, like that's over. The gospel is meant to be lived out, and like we can see that through the life of Jesus. He called 12 men and basically went on a 3-year camping trip with them. And so like with being a missionary, I get to wake up every morning and meet with students, but also like invite them into my life and then have them invite me into theirs. And actually have a relationship. I'm not just like I didn't become a missionary just to talk at someone. I became a missionary so that I could encounter Jesus like through other people, and people could encounter Jesus in me. And then ultimately in the Eucharist and in the sacraments.
Yeah, I think that's been, the ultimate gift of being around the Catholic Center, being around you as Focus Missionary, being around him as a roommate, is learning that aspect of living out the gospel every day, whether it be, when we wake up in the morning, when we go to daily mass at 12, whether we're chilling at our dorm late at night, just that whole aspect of living at every single moment. And I think that's one of the beauties of Focus and discipleship, and the way that it's teaching us in that way. Could you dive into discipleship in a little bit and give, our audience an idea of what that is and the purpose of it a little bit more?
Like focused discipleship?
Focus discipleship, yes.
Focused discipleship. It's spiritual accompaniment. Just like not on the level of spiritual direction, by the way. Like if you're thinking about going to spiritual direction, like please find like someone like trained to do that. But focused discipleship is meant to build up like once we've said yes to the gospel, once we've accepted like our Lord's saving message, then yeah, like we need to learn the practicals of how to do that. Whether that's like growing in human formation, in virtue and all that stuff, but also like the main way that Focus ministers to students is like through Bible studies. It's like, how can we lead an effective Bible study? How can we encounter like people like in the Bible study setting, diving into the word. And then that's just like a really unclear answer. It's fine. But yeah, so like you have someone who's walking with you, who's running with you in your pursuit of virtue, and then also in your pursuit of living a life like Christ in pursuing other people. That's a really broad overview of what discipleship is.
Did you do discipleship when you were in college and have someone be your leader?
When was I asked into discipleship? I think it was the end of the first semester of my sophomore year. And yeah, Focus has like a curriculum for it, but like the entire first semester that I was in discipleship, so the second semester of my sophomore year, I was just like, I was really struggling. I was really struggling with virtue and vice and all those things. And so like that's what me and my first discipler would talk about a lot is, yeah, how do I root out these vices, these sins? And then after that, like getting into like the more practical formation. of yeah, encountering other people. So
And then what's it been like? You did it in college. You were a disciple follower, like someone above you was helping you. And now you get to be a disciple, that discipleship leader. Now, what has it been like to be able to take that experience that you actually being involved in the program and now being a leader of that program?
I actually started discipling people when I was in college, my junior and senior year. I took on like men in discipleship, and so I get to continue doing that in a brand new place, and I think that's just such a gift. Because the reality is, like, discipleship is not a focus exclusive thing. If everybody was living out missionary discipleship, then focus wouldn't need to exist. And I think it's kind of cool that I get to be part of an organization where, yeah, like I can say that, where it's like, if everybody lived out missionary discipleship, that would be the goal, right? It's like that everybody's just like living a life that is so transformed by Christ that they can't help but just like go out and do the same. But lo and behold, we live in a fallen world, so
Yeah. Well, you talked about being a gift and that being a gift that you're able to do. So I think that brings us perfectly to our quote that you so perfectly provided for us. Here's the quote right for you guys. Man cannot fully find himself except through the sincere gift of himself. I'll read it one more time. Man cannot fully find himself except through the sincere gift of himself. Austin, could you just tell us a little bit about where you first heard this quote, where you got it from, just like the context around this quote.
yeah, so one of my best friends in college, he recently just got married, but he loves JP2. And JP2 actually quoted this in one of his homilies. But it was, I believe it's from an encyclical called Gaudium et Spes, which means hope and joy, joy and hope. Yeah, and I thought that it really just encompassed what my experience was like in college. That somebody was a gift, like several people were a gift to me in friendship. And I was like, this is great. But my life has become so much more abundant when I was able to like pour myself out to like my own Bible study and my own Bible study guys.
I think it goes back to what you were talking about, that when you first got there and you were around the Catholic Center, you saw these people and you saw that they were happy, right? You talked about that, and you yourself at that time didn't feel happy, but those people were, really being a gift to you. And then now you're able to be a gift to other people. And would you say that you are as happy that, or in that happy space that, those people that you first encountered at your Texas A&M Catholic Center, do you think you have, finding that same happiness that they had?
Yeah, I definitely do. Like, I think it goes back to the fact that we were made for communion. Like, and we can get into all of that, but if made in the image and likeness of God, if that truly is the case, 'cause, and it is, then like, who is God? God is communion, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. And so we too, if we are created in that image, then we are also created for communion. The Father who gives himself completely to the Son, and the Son who gives himself completely to the Father, and like that complete like self-giving takes on like a whole another person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. That is a very simplified version explanation, but of course, we would find fulfillment if we are able to give of ourselves and another gives back. I think that's also so beautifully reflected in the sacrament of marriage. Like a husband who gives himself completely to his wife, the wife who gives herself completely to her husband. And what comes from that? Life. Yeah, so.
I've really enjoyed diving into this quote when you gave it to me. So I like to pick it apart a little bit and just breaking it down from top to bottom, because it's basically agape, if you're going to break it down. It's
mm-hmm.
the highest form of love. It's the love of self-giving, giving yourself to others, giving pretty much every part of you that you have to somebody else, essentially. And breaking it down, I got a couple different like topics, side topics that make up this agape. And I finally got it down to two. And it was self-mastery and learning how to self-love. Because in order to learn how to love yourself, you have to learn how to give yourself to others as well. And in order to master your own senses and grow in yourself, you have to learn how to give yourself as well. And I kind of broke it down to those two things. And I just thought it was so profound, because there's so much that makes up agape. There's so much. And it's not this simple, you have to do this, this, this. It's very complex, but in a sense, it's learning how to love, which is what God's there for. And so throughout our lives, I found learning that giving myself to others isn't always the easiest thing to do. But when I was closest to God, it became easier and easier and easier, because I was learning how to love myself and I was learning how to accept His love. And once I had learned His gift of giving love to others, I was learning to give that love back to somebody else. And like I said, self-mastery and self-love, I'm learning how to love myself more and love the things about myself and being less fake around other people. And just before we got here, I was listening to Jordan Peterson talk, and he said the first step in understanding yourself is to learn that you don't understand yourself. You don't. And to start that off, because you can't start thinking you know yourself, because if you think you know yourself, then maybe you really haven't found yourself yet. There's just a very long process, and I don't think you'll ever will until the end of your life. And that's in heaven, because that's when you're with God, essentially. And so, like Father Mgaga likes to say, what are we searching for, or who are we searching for? And I think, in essence, we're searching for God through ourselves. And I kind of think that's what our life is about. It's our life goal, which is why I found it so interesting that you provided it, because I feel like this is like your motto. This is your focus missionary motto. And I was like, man, like, this is so neat. He is practicing agape day by day, because your goal is to lead others to Christ. That's why you're a missionary. And it's like, wow. This is so neat. I've never heard it broken down this way. So I just wanted to say it was really nice to hear that.
Yeah. The I guess you can call it like the mission statement of focus is to know Christ Jesus and to fulfill the Great Commission. And it is like the order of that is so, so crucial. Like to know Christ Jesus first. That we, as missionaries, would know His love for us first and foremost. I think something really cool that was said to me when at training, and like has been told to me a couple of times, is, yeah, if the only soul that is saved by you being a missionary is your own, then it is worth it. Then it has done its job. Because, like, yeah, the first thing is to know Christ Jesus and to know His love for me and to, like, completely give myself to that. Just as He did for, like, yeah, me. And then, like, naturally from that, naturally, like, the desire, the zeal for souls is going to come.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's definitely a couple ways that we could go about this. But one thing that popped in my head that we've talked about on our podcast that I got from what you were talking about is, you know, we've talked about having, you know, sometimes when we get ready to do this podcast, or like in the weeks before, days before, that we feel a certain type of, you know, shame or guilt or a feeling of unworthiness to be able to make this podcast. And what you're saying about, you know, knowing Christ Jesus as being the first part of the mission, and that first part, and that's the most important part before you can even get to the other part. It makes me think of this. And in that moment, when I feel this way and I feel like I'm not worthy for that, that it's a calling from God that I need to dive more into knowing Him, to be able to get on this podcast and speak and have that zeal and that one for other people. I need to know His love even deeper. I need to know that, you know, I need to know how much He loves me, and that I don't need to feel this shame or this guilt and this unworthiness, because that's how much He loves us. And His love is so strong that it is leading us to want to do these things because we've encountered it. And it's very interesting that you brought that up. And I like that a lot, that, you know, if we're the only person, if we're the only soul that is saved through our mission from knowing Christ, then it's worth it. I like that a lot. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
It's very funny. This is very much like the Josiah Quinn quote we talked about. If I'm the only thing that they read, let the words they read be what you wrote. And so it's kind of like, oh, if I'm the only thing that they're going to see in my life, let the words that I live, let me live through you so that they can see that. And even if I don't bring them, at least I'm living through you throughout my life. And it's kind of crazy. I never really thought, we kind of did something on this, but we didn't go as deep as this. And so this is a whole new level. I kind of like three steps that I broke it. I like breaking down. I like charts, you know. So I thought of three steps to help find yourself. Obviously, there's a lot more things you can do. But three that I thought were really neat and I think were good ways to grow is personal prayer, building true relationships, and then living authentically. And I think that kind of goes with agape, especially the live authentically one, because I think that's the most important out of all three, is being real with yourself by being real for others. You can't be fake around other people, because then how are you going to find yourself if you're not being who you are? And you see that a lot in today's time, especially with people walking around and not being who they are around the other people, and then going back and being a completely different person. You're like, how am I supposed to build an authentic relationship with you if this isn't even you? And then you're like, well, then who am I? Am I doing the same thing? And then everybody's worried about being authentic. And again, I just feel like this all goes back to being a missionary, because I feel like y'all are called towards personal prayer. Y'all are called towards living authentically. And then y'all go to different places and build relationships. And there's so much depth to this quote. And I think it really perfectly encapsulates what it means to be a missionary. And I'm not a missionary myself, but just seeing the way you present yourself. And when we go to the Catholic Center and hang out with you guys and all the other Focus missionaries, and just seeing your love for Christ and you guys living out these three things, it shows that y'all are giving agape to us. And we feel it. Like, it's definitely something that's out there. It doesn't go unnoticed. So I want to thank you for that. It's been really great for me in college, because it's built my faith a lot. And now I'm proceeding to try to get other kids from my old high school here, because I'm like, guys, I promise you, there's more to Alabama than just football and big frat parties. I was like, there's a lot. Like, the community here, the Christian faith, it's being built up. And I promise you, if you live college the way you should and the way you want to grow in faith, you can do it. Like, it's possible. I'm living it right now, and I have people around me that are helping me grow, and you're definitely a big part of that. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Dude, yeah, it's been like, y'all are freaking awesome, man. Like, it's so cool to be around y'all. I'm like, wow, they're freshmen. I didn't know that. I was just kidding. No, no, your words mean a lot. Thank you.
I think it was interesting how you said if we were all missionaries, then you wouldn't need to be a missionary, and it kind of goes back to your whole mission, discipleship. That we all are called to be exactly what your goal is as a missionary. We all should be called to be a missionary in our own lives. And for you, that missionary calling has been to come to the University of Alabama. And who knows where it's going to go from here? You don't know that for sure. I don't know it at all. Only God knows where you're going to lead. But in different ways, we all have a missionary calling. And you, as you broke down in your three steps, personal prayer, authenticity, relationships.
Ah, dude, you listen solid.
Okay, so if reality, we all should be doing those three things in our lives, whether we are a Focus missionary or we are just a student. So, but those things are going to lead to being a missionary in our own lives because of everything you guys have said. You know, we don't have to go into that anymore. But the way we are all called to be missionaries in our own ways, and for me, I think one of what I thought of, which from what you were talking about, is the way that the family is how God set up the family to be its own version of a missionary and of discipleship, and the way that mothers and fathers are supposed to have that missionary feel to them, to their children. You look like you're about to say something.
I
I just
understand when
stopped.
you moved like this way to talk. I was listening to it, and it kind of like sounds distant when you go like this. So, like, move your mic, keep it in front of you.
Yeah.
There you
Okay.
go.
Got
Okay.
it. Anyways, but yes, just thinking about how that works with the family and how God developed the family to be that area of missionary work, where that, when people go to college, they're prepared to be missionaries to maybe other people that didn't have the same, situation that they had growing up. And just thinking a lot about how we all can be missionaries in our own lives. And, you guys are striving to be missionaries, but you're also teaching so many people to be missionaries. And that's so awesome that you get to spread that message. I'm so glad that we were able to come here and encounter you guys and, follow in your missionary footsteps. So.
Leading up to this episode, I was like, okay, Austin's on the podcast. Austin's on the podcast. And I just kept replaying first time we met you and Carlos, was it Rory? Rory.
It's Rory. I think
You
it
and
was
Rory.
Rory.
And it was the first time we've ever been. I mean, beside the tour, I went with Alexis Gallegos on a tour before I even came here. He got me here. So thanks, Alexis. Anyways, I remember meeting you guys for the first time. It was on, what was it called?
I believe it was the block party.
No, it
Was it
was
the block
before
party?
that. It was like the
The
first thing
nacho
that,
bar night?
was it? No, it
I
was
think it
Nacho
was nacho
Bar.
bar night.
It
I
was
think it
Nacho
was
Bar.
Oh, dude, the
Because
nacho
we had talked to Chris Marcus, was with you guys. I remember that. And he looked like a surfer dude because his hair was wild.
bar.
And I was like, oh, this, because I didn't know at first that y'all were focused missionaries. But I was like, man, this is awesome. They're like fired up in their faith right now. This feels great. It's like, this is a really good fresh air. And y'all are going to play pickleball that night or something. And then y'all would talk to us about the block party the next day. And I was like, okay, they're getting us involved. Let's go. Let's go. Let's just dive into it. And so I just kept replaying that over and over again. I'm like thinking, there are thousands of kids across America that are living this exact same moment with a different missionary, with a different person that's introducing them to something. And like, this mission that they're called towards is so beautiful on so many different levels. And so I just kept replaying that over and over in my mind. And I just thought, wow, how honored were we to be one of those kids that got touched by y'all's mission? I was like, it's just so neat. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just really cool just to think
It's,
about it.
I've looked it up on like to see how many different universities you guys have focused missionaries at. And my girlfriend goes to a university that doesn't have focused missionaries there. And I don't know if there's a way to put an application in for a school, but I would love to do that because not only would I love for my girlfriend to be able to be involved with Focus and all the missionary stuff, all the discipleship stuff, but just all that whole university and just every university needs it. We all need Focus to be there because of everything that we've talked about you. We've talked about your missionaries around you. You guys do incredible work, and that's why I've tried to see if I can get my girlfriend to come down here to like help with all the missionaries down here. But seriously, like if there's a way to get more, if we can have a calling for more missionaries, whatever donations we need to fund up here, whatever needs to happen to get this get Focus spread onto more campuses would be amazing because we've seen at the University of Alabama, obviously there's a lot of people that go here and it's known for, as you talked about, football and parties. But we've seen an incredible influx of people come to the Catholic Center because of what Focus has done, luckily from Nick Saban providing money to build a nice center for us to hang out. But there's been so many people that have, been able to interact with different people, whether they're Catholic or not, that have been able to meet up at the Catholic Center and be able to do all these things, and to not have that at certain universities is sad to hear. And it's just gives us more to strive for, more zeal to, keep bringing this to, different campuses and different people around the world for sure.
A lot of Focus's resources are available online on their website and stuff. And so, digital outreach, I don't speak on behalf of Focus by any means, in any official capacity, but I know that they do digital outreach. So if you want have a relationship with a missionary, if Focus isn't on your campus, there's a way for that to happen. And then you can also petition to your local bishop and say, hey, we think that this would be really great for our college campus or our diocese. And so, yeah, like those are just like some ways. And like all of our discipleship articles, Bible studies and all that like are online for people to use. And like something really cool about the Focus Bible studies is there's guides for them. So if you are wanting to, like your own like personal formation, you can go, you can look them up, you can read through them. You can read through the discipleship articles. You can like read through them with other people. And yeah, like
Shameless plug right there.
Hey,
We're not opposed to it though. We love Focus. Y'all have been great, and I want y'all's mission to spread as far as possible. A lot of people need to feel it, and I know a lot of people deserve it too. So, yeah. You got anything else?
trying to think because I'm loving this
I
conversation. I don't
really
really
am
want it
too.
to
It's
end.
going pretty
I'm
well.
trying to think of
No.
some more things to dive into.
We are at the 40-minute mark.
We are at the 40-minute mark. Awesome. Would you, if we can think of anything, would you like to keep going if we can think of anything?
I'm down for it.
He's game. He's game.
All right. What else can we explore in the Catholic faith?
I have a question written down, but I'm trying to remember if you've answered it or not. But I'm gonna answer it, or I'm gonna ask anyways. So this quote says that you cannot fully find yourself except through the sincere gift of yourself. What are you finding out about yourself through giving yourself through your missionary work? Tough question.
Yeah. Giving other people Jesus is so much better than just like giving like just like plainly yourself. And so I think of Saint Paul when he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And what is more authentically yourself than to live in the identity as a son or daughter of the Father, to live in like in the joy of the gospel. So that's what I'm continuing to learn. I'm continuing to learn that I, in the sincere gift of myself, the sincere gift is Jesus living in me. And so, because of that, everything else that is not of God in me must be destroyed. Which is hard. It's hard. Like when the Lord prunes and he purifies, it is painful. But there is no Good Friday without an Easter Sunday. Yeah, it's still Easter, so happy Easter. Yeah.
You ever find it super challenging to, be sincere in your giving of yourself? Like,
Oh yeah. Pride is a huge thing. It's like you want like this desire for like people to like see you and like acknowledge you and like all these things. But the beautiful thing is that, yeah, just simply from this quote, is that we do not find ourselves by like navel gazing, by just looking to ourselves and like seeking our own interests. But rather to look at the cross. And I believe that Christ was the most joyful man on the cross, because on Calvary he says like, Father, into your hands. In the garden he says, Father, your will be done. He says, Father, forgive them. And so, yeah, it's hard. Like self-preservation is a thing. Self-exaltation is a thing. But when that's all we seek, when like that's when we get lost in pleasure seeking and living for the cheap thrills. And anybody who has done that, like this is myself included, it's pretty empty.
I had a question. I'm trying to remember it real quick. Okay, I got it. So obviously, missionary, you're trying to reach a lot of people. Obviously, you have a lot of good, but you also have sometimes when you try to reach out to people and it doesn't go so well. Could you talk about, just how do you, what is your mindset when you reach out to somebody and it just doesn't really go very well? Like they're very, either they just push you away, they just don't respond at all. Just like those moments where you're trying to give Jesus to people, but they're just not accepting it. How do you handle those moments? Because I'm sure, they come around a good amount.
Yeah, like there is a temptation, right? It's like, oh, like that like kind of hurts like my personal pride. It's like why was I like not good enough? Why was I not cool enough? But I think the Lord has, in his mercy, has given me like a heart for these people where it's just like, yeah, my heart breaks because like I want so like the Lord wants so much for you. I want so much for you. But the hope is, like we read in scripture the story of the rich young man who it's like, teacher, like what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus goes through and is like, you must like follow the commandments. Like I've done these since my youth. And he's like, sell everything you have and come follow me. And he walks away sad. But there's a line. There's a line there that I believe it's in Mark's gospel, but he puts a line in there that says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. The only person who would have known that, or like the way it's been interpreted, is like the only person who would have known that is the person that Jesus was looking at. And so legend has it is that it was Mark. Was it Mark or Luke? I can't remember. Oh, come Holy Spirit. But it was Mark or Luke that like that was the rich young man. And he would come back and he would actually write the gospels. Like one of the gospels. And so there's hope. And I like when people say no. We say in focus, a no is just a slow yes. And so we continue to pray for them and hope that the Lord will do something. So, yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah, I got nothing else. You kind of just asking the question, so I'm just letting you go.
Do you have, just one final message that you would like to give to, to us as your fellow podcaster and, to the audience? Just one final message that you would like to give with this these final moments that you have.
Final message. Yeah, for y'all, like this is really cool. Like what y'all are doing. There's a lot of things on media nowadays, and so it's awesome to see that young people are, yeah, wanting to put good stuff out there that lead people to Jesus. And so, yeah, what a gift. Like praise God for it. For the audience, I don't know. I feel like we've talked about a lot that they can chew on. But yeah, anyone who needs to hear it, like the Lord loves you. He loves you and he seeks you. He's pursuing you. And like my prayer for like all of our listeners is that, whether in a new or old way, that you can encounter the Lord's love for you in a profound way. That you were made for heaven. And that Yeah, we are an Easter people. Like he did first what we shall do. And so, yeah, I pray that the joy of the gospel might come alive in your hearts and yeah. So that's all I got.
Really appreciate that. We appreciate you coming on. It's been just a blast, a blessing, and a blast to have you on this podcast and just have you around and in our lives this past year as the semester comes to a close. And we're so thankful that we were able to get you on here before the semester ends. We hope that you'll be back next semester as our focus missionary. And who knows, maybe we can have a part two. Maybe get the other focus missionaries on as well. We'd love to have that. Thank you all sincerely. Thank you for everything you've done.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, guys. So we really enjoyed this episode. We have a surprise guest who will be coming on next week. We won't say his or her name, but be expecting that. It'll be fun. Cool episode. Our bracelets came in finally. If you know us or know anybody else that knows us, we can get it to you. Just send us a message or try to get somebody to pick it up for you. I'll be coming back to St. Bernard in beginning of May, so I can try to get it some of y'all then. You are at St. Bernard and Coleman or in that area. Azario is heading back to Kentucky when?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. So he can try to get it. Yep, thumbs up to that. He can try to get it to them anytime soon, anytime around there. So just let him know. Other than that, we'll see y'all next week. God bless. Adios.